Welcome to Sunday Life, a radio and podcast program of Life Church in Boston. You can find us on the web at lifechurchboston.org. God's Word is taking off from where you are right now and rising to build you up on the way to your destiny. Let's climb on board.
Praise the Lord. This is Pastor Rockland Clark of Life Church in Boston, Massachusetts. Unfortunately, roughly the first 20 minutes of audio for our November 2nd, 2025 sermon was not recorded because my microphone was muted. We apologize for the inconvenience and trust that you'll still be blessed by the rest of the message.
As Jesus looked up, he saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. "Truly I tell you," he said, "this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on."
Amen. Thank you. And let's read the parallel passage as well.
This is Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on."
Amen. Thank you. So, Jesus sees the people putting their offerings into the treasury, and a widow put in two small coins, and he commends her for having put in everything she had to live on. So one question is, how did he know that she gave all she had to live on? That's just, you know, it's a point of curiosity. Was he just, was it just a revelation in the spirit that or was there some other basis for which he understood that? I don't know, but it's worth thinking about. Remember in the previous passage last week, he warned his disciples about teachers of the law who devoured widows' houses. Anyone remember that? Right? These people will be punished most severely. So apparently, one of the things that some of the teachers of the law would do is they find ways to get people to devote their wealth, their resources into the temple or the treasury and provide wealth or resources for them. And Jesus called them out on the practice of Corban, where he said, you know, you nullify the word of God with your tradition. The word says, honor your father and your mother, that you may live long in the land your God is giving you. He says, but you say, if you say, mother, father, any gift that I would otherwise have given you is Corban, devoted to God, then you no longer let them honor their parents with it. Now, the word honor there implies giving of resources. Okay, it's not just praise or consideration. It's you honor with resources, wealth, etc. And so this is a way of saying, hey, mom, dad, you know, everything I would have given you, now I'm devoting to the temple and to the kingdom. It sounds real spiritual, right? But you're nullifying what God said, honor your father and your mother. Okay. And so practices like that, you can see that human nature really has not changed, right? I mean, people find ways of getting their hands on other people's resources for their own purposes. Amen? It's sad, but it is true. And so in the previous passage, he warns his disciples about teachers of the law who devour widows' houses. But notice here, he does not stop this woman from giving her offering. You know, I mean, think about that. He commends her. She's put in everything she had to live on. He doesn't rush up and say, no, no, sis, listen, this is all you have to live on. You don't need to put that in the treasury. It's okay. Because, you know, what were the two copper coins going to do, right, for the temple? Okay. But he doesn't stop her. He doesn't say, she shouldn't have done that. She didn't need to do that. He commends her. Okay. This story is reminiscent of two other stories about widows who gave everything. And so Elijah and the widow of Zarephath. So I'm going to ask Eva to unmute and read that for us.
This is 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 1 through 16. Now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will neither be dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word." Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kereth ravine east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, as I have directed the ravens to supply you with food there." So he did what the Lord had told him. He went to the Kereth ravine east of the Jordan and stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, "Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food." So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called her and asked, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink?" As she was going to get it, he called, "And bring me, please, a piece of bread." "As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first, make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land." She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah.
Amen. Thank you. This is quite a story. Okay. So Elijah's on a mission. God's got stuff for him to do, and he needs to hide Elijah temporarily. And so he makes this bold announcement. There's not gonna be rain or dew in the next few years except by my word. And then he's got to get out of Dodge, because when you say stuff like that, you become an enemy of the state. And so the Lord directs him to a place where ravens are going to bring him food. That's already weird. Okay. You're hiding out and you're depending on ravens to drop little crumbs of stuff, a little piece of meat here, a piece of bread there for you to eat. I don't particularly want to eat stuff that's left by ravens. Okay. But if you got to hide out, okay, it's nice to know God knows how to take care of you. It's humbling. Right. So, okay. This is how I'm used to getting food. But God said he's going to take care of me. And you got to wait every day for however many ravens it takes to drop off a meal for you. Okay. So Elijah has to really trust the God he serves, number one. And then the Kereth Ravine dries out. And so he now has to go elsewhere. And because of the drought, the drought he prophesied, right? The brook dries up and now he's got to go looking somewhere. God says, "I've commanded a widow there to supply you with food." He doesn't know what widow it is. He just, okay, I'm going to Zarephath and presumably they'll all run into a widow. So he sees, you know, he sees a widow there, and he asks her for, "Hey, can you get me a little water?" And she goes to do that. "Hey, and get me, would you make me some bread too?" Now, what's he operating on? He's operating on the word God gave him. "I've commanded the widow there to provide you with food." Can he force this woman to do it? No. He's trusting that this, I'm going to see a widow and she's going to help me out because God told her to do it. So he speaks out of, based on what the Lord told him. You will, if you take seriously the mission that God has for you, there will be times when you will have a word from God and not much else. And you'll just have to take a chance. You'll have to speak something and see what happens. Okay? You get a word from God. It's generally not a complete blueprint. God does not give you a novel. He gives you a word. He gives you enough for you to take a chance and ask a question of someone or say hi to someone or what have you and see what happens next. So get used to that idea that when God is at work and he's giving you a word, giving you an instruction, right, that you're going to have to take a risk to follow that instruction. It's not going to, now, you know, when you are used to being in church services with anointed pastors and teachers, and I know what it's like to sit in a service with people who can work. I'm not much of a preacher, right? I'm not a preacher, right? I'm a teacher. But to sit under people who preach, right? Preaching generally comes in an authoritative voice, okay? And the kind of voice that just makes you like, this person's hearing from God right now, and they're saying, do this, or what have you. And it feels like, man, if I could just feel like I'm sure, like he sounds or she sounds, then I'd be confident about stepping out on a word from God. Okay. It doesn't work that way. The Sunday experience is artificial. It's important. It serves a purpose, but it is artificial. It is a group of people that have given you permission to speak authoritatively into their lives. Amen. Okay. The real world isn't like that. Okay. God wants to take you from the Sunday experience, which is important. It's designed to build you up, but then he wants to take you out into the real world where people don't particularly care that you go to church or that you're anointed or whatever. Okay. And so you got to trust, you got to hear a word from God and then take a risk and ask a question. Amen. That wasn't part of the original message, but I throw that in extra. I'm not going to charge you anything for it. Okay. So he says, and would you, she says, listen, I don't have any bread. I got a little flour. I got some oil. You know, we're going to live on that and die. Right. And he says, don't be afraid, but make me a loaf of bread first. Make me a cake first. The King James says cake, but make something for me first. That's bold. This is her last stuff. Okay. This is the last stuff she's got. And he says, make me a loaf of bread first. Make a meal. That's bold. Now, I know of a televangelist. He's still around. There actually was an expose done on him by 2020, like 20 years ago. And this passage is his favorite passage because when he was ready to work you over to do an offering, donate to my ministry. And, remember that Elijah said to the woman, make me a cake first. So take first, before you do anything else, give that offering to me. Right. He was, this is his favorite passage. But despite his misuse of the passage, it is in the Bible. Okay. Elijah said, make me a loaf, small loaf of bread for me from what you have, bring it to me, then make something for yourself. That's bold. It's giving first to the representative of the kingdom of God and then for yourself. Everything you've ever worried about or been suspicious of or anxious about in terms of ministry and churches, what have you, is it kind of probably summed up right here. Okay. But that's what the word says. And so she did it. So that's one case of a widow having been taken care of because the oil didn't run out. She was able to sell the oil the jar of flour was not used up. The jug of oil didn't run dry. And she was able to not, that's the second story, not sell the oil, but they had food. Okay. The jar was miraculously resupplied, and the oil was miraculously resupplied. Amen. Let's look at our next story. I'll ask Eva to unmute and read for us. Yeah. Right. She has, yeah. She, and they may be summarized in the conversation. You know, it's possible it's a compressed account, right? But it's enough to let you know she's resigned herself to, I got no resources. I haven't had resources in a while. And this is it. And, you know, you're asking me for some bread, but listen, buddy, I ain't got it. And it's over. But good question. So let's read the next one.
This is 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves." Elisha replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me what you have in your house." "Your servant has nothing there at all," she said, "except a small jar of olive oil." Elisha said, "Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side." She left him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." But he replied, "There's not a jar left." Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left."
Amen. So a little different story, but this oil doesn't run out. Okay. He says, go ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few, right? So if you believe that God is going to take care of you, listen, don't ask for just a few jars, right? You want to see God work? Get a lot of jars. And when she ran out of jars, the oil stopped flowing, and then she was able to sell it. And so God took care of a widow. So just another, this story of the widow who put in the two mites reminds me of these two stories. Okay, so Jesus criticizes people who exploit the vulnerable, like widows. Jesus commends a vulnerable person, a widow, who gives everything. Okay, so there are two things to keep in tension here. Okay, don't exploit vulnerable people, but vulnerable people aren't exempt from giving. Amen? Right? Let your politics and your giving align with what the Bible teaches. Now, this is it's a little offbeat, but people expect the church to help people, and the church should help people. But there's more to that than a lot of people realize. And so the clip I'm going to play a video And this takes place at a TD Jakes a session that TD Jakes had organized with some both conservative and progressive advocates around prophetic voices and policy and politics. And two of the people who were there were part of the group of folks who prayed over President Trump. This is 8 years old. This is from the first Trump, the time of the first Trump administration. And and so he sort of raises the issue of what's happening now. You know, you've prayed for this person. How do you see the policies in light of the praying that you did? So let's take a listen.
At this point in our presentation, we played some material which is protected by copyright. Because we do not have a license to distribute this material, we have omitted it from our recording. In most cases, when this happens, you can find a link to the omitted material in our online sermon notes.
So, let your politics and your giving align with what the Bible teaches. What am I saying? The church needs to be about helping people with resources that we have, but you also need to be about helping people with the platform that we have and the influence that we have, educating people, because in a democracy, we're a democratic republic, but in any event, in a democracy, we have a chance to influence policy and determine how tax dollars are spent, right? And we can choose to advocate for spending tax dollars in ways that help those who are in need. And as believers, I believe that it is incumbent upon us to do that. However, there's a segment of evangelicalism which is deeply committed to the idea that government should not be involved in any of that. And it's a core ideological point for them. They think that it's biblically based. It's not, but they think it is. And so they advocate for it with a misguided zeal. And so the policies that you see reflected are come from that idea that government shouldn't be doing that, the church should do it all, and in the course of doing that, the church should impose its morality on other people. It's not the church's morality. The problem is Jesus did not teach us to impose the kingdom of God on other people. He taught us to love people into the kingdom of God, and he taught us to serve people, right, and bless people. And so I throw that out there because in a discussion of giving, you also have to talk about what kinds of policies we advocate for. So as far as I'm going to go on that, but we'll have Q&A and we can have more discussion. Church leaders sometimes manipulate people into giving. Okay. And sometimes people feel manipulated into giving, even when that's not the intention of the leaders. Both those things are true. You want to base your giving on a broad understanding of what the Bible teaches, not just a few key verses. Now, we have a giving page on the Life Church website, and there are two big links about giving and how to give. And I've done my best to try to throw together all of the sort of to give a framework. So I encourage folks to check out our giving page, especially the about giving, because I try to give a biblical basis for giving there. And that's it. So let's move on to let's gather and let's have Q&A and discussion.
You've been listening to Sunday Life, a radio and podcast program of Life Church in Boston. We hope you've enjoyed your flight. As we prepare to land, please leave the belt of truth buckled around your waist and keep your life in an upright position. If you would like to support this program, or if you simply want more information about Life Church, please visit our website at lifechurchboston.org. As you go on with your day, please remember, Jesus commanded us to go and make disciples of all nations. please put what you've just heard into practice in your own life, then teach it to others and watch God's kingdom take off around you.